He was kindly treated by his surviving relatives. First, he lived with his grandfather, Abd al-Muttalib, who had been a highly successful merchant in his prime. The old man made quite a favourite of Muhammad. He liked to have his bed carried outside, where he could lie in the shade of the Kaaba, surrounded by his sons. Muhammad used to sit beside him while his grandfather affectionately stroked his back. When he died, however, Muhammad, now 8 years old, inherited nothing. His more powerful relatives controlled the estate, and Muhammad went to live with his uncle Abu Talib, who was now the Sayyid, or chief, of Hashim, and greatly respected in Mecca, even though his business was failing. Abu Talib was very fond of his nephew, and his brothers also helped with Muhammad's education. Hamza, the youngest, a man of prodigious strength, instructed Muhammad in the martial arts, making him a skilled archer and competent swordsman. His uncle, Abbas, a banker, was able to get Muhammad a job managing the caravans on the northern leg of the journey to Syria. The young Muhammad was well liked in Mecca. He was handsome, with a compact, solid body of average height. His hair and beard were thick and curly, and he had a strikingly luminous expression and a smile of enormous charm, which is mentioned in all the sources. He was decisive and wholehearted in everything he did, so intent on the task at hand that he never looked over his shoulder, even if his cloak got caught in a thorny bush. When he did turn to speak to somebody, he used to swing his entire body around and address him full face. When he shook hands, he was never the first to withdraw his own. He inspired such confidence that he was known as Al-Amin, the reliable one. But his orphaned status constantly held him back. He had wanted to marry his cousin Fakhita, but Abu Talib had to refuse his request for her hand, gently pointing out that Muhammad could not afford to support a wife, and made a more advantageous match for her. But when Muhammad was about 25 years old, his luck suddenly changed. Khadija bint al-Khuwailid, a distant relative, asked him to take a caravan into Syria for her. She came from the clan of Asad, which was now far more influential than Hashim, and since her husband had died, she had become a successful merchant. Urban life often gives elite women the opportunity to flourish in business, though women of the lower classes had no status at all in Mecca. Muhammad conducted the expedition so competently that Khadija was impressed and proposed marriage to him. She needed a new husband, and her talented kinsman was a suitable choice. "I like you because of our relationship," she told him, "and your high reputation among your people, your trustworthiness, good character, and truthfulness." Some of Muhammad's critics have sneered at this timely match with the wealthy widow, but this was no marriage of convenience. Muhammad loved Khadija dearly, and even though polygamy was the norm in Arabia, he never took another, younger wife while she was alive. Khadija was a remarkable woman, determined, noble, and intelligent, says the historian Ibn Ishaq, Muhammad's first biographer. She was the first to recognize her husband's genius, and, perhaps because he had lost his mother at such a young age, he depended upon her emotionally and relied on her advice and support. After her death, he used to infuriate some of his later wives by endlessly singing her praises.